takeaways, because we ripped through it in the last segment, our BetQL Daily mock draft. We only got through the top 10. We didn't get a defensive player in the top 10 either.
Yeah, so my big takeaway was, okay, I do think a defensive player will be drafted inside the top 10, but there is a prop under half a defensive player taken plus 550. Do we have to bet it now?
Yeah. I mean, we just worked through our own top 10 mock, and we did not have a defensive player go. So it's a thing, I think.
It's a thing, Joe. I love it. It was so fun doing our own mock draft and coming up with that. And it was all laid out there. Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Chris Mack, Joe Ostrowski, Aaron Hawksworth with you. We continue to react to the NFL draft. Joe, where would you like to start?
Yeah, so I did bet that because I had to. Because I was like, we said it on the show. It was a decent number. And I could see all these defensive players getting pushed out. 8-9 scared me with Falcons, Bears. Obviously, we know what happened. So that was my favorite one that I hit last night, I'd say. I took a bunch of shots. Mm-hmm. Colts to take a defensive line slash edge player was 10-1. Many projected Bowers to fall to them. But like I was thinking, what if he doesn't? Then what are they going to do? I think half the mocks that I was taking a look at had them taking an edge player. And that's exactly what they did as the edge players just fell to them. You know, I was surprised. I think I'd mentioned this one too with San Francisco. So many people had San Francisco going receiver, and it was plus 340 for them to take a receiver at the end. So maybe it was a surprise that the one they ended up taking at the end of the first round. So that was interesting. I was sweating that receiver bet. A bunch went at the very end to go over the 6.5, including the last pick. The Bills had it, and then they traded it to Carolina. I'm like, oh no. It was for sure the Bills going to take a receiver, but Carolina took a receiver. So happy there. So some of the shots that I took did hit. Some did not. Just missed the over 6.5 on defensive line slash edge players. Falcons take a receiver. That was obviously wrong. Man, we should have bet that quarterback thing. There were some great numbers out there yesterday. And the ones I'm waiting on, Braylon Allen, first running back, 50-1. Running back was not taken last night. And Bowers, the only tight end to go. I took Sanders as a second tight end at plus 310. So that one's hanging in the balance. So, still waiting on a few. Got some good numbers. So even if you waited until the very end, there were some opportunities. But early on, it was super chalky. And that Neighbors pick at 6, also chalky. But Aaron, once that happened, I was like, wow, this is coming up Vikings this draft. Because once Neighbors go 6, you got 7, Tennessee. They're not going quarterback. You didn't think Atlanta would, but then they went with a different quarterback than the one Minnesota wanted. The Bears weren't going quarterback. It just all fell to the Vikings. They had a terrific draft, whether you like McCarthy or not. The Vikings, they came away with a couple really good players last night.
Yeah, I like it. And having Kevin O'Connell there to, you know, groom and develop him, that should be interesting. I like it. I hope it works out for McCarthy and the Vikings. The Bo Nix under 32.5 was even money. Man. I had that one. And Roma Dunze over 8.5 was also even money. Missed out on the Dallas Turner under 9.5 at plus 140. And Brock Bowers under 11.5. That one didn't hit for me either.
Yeah. Vikings also got Dallas Turner. What value in the back half of the first round for Dallas Turner to fall there? Fascinating. Wow. Half the NFC North quarterbacks changed last night. You got Caleb Williams. He's going to be your Bears starter. McCarthy's going to be the Vikings starter. So the look of that division changes. So a lot of fascinating storylines out of last night. Man, it just, everybody knew the Vikings were looking for a quarterback. Everybody knew they wanted McCarthy, and they end up getting their dude there. So what good stuff for the Vikings. Bo Nix, man, we were trying to decide, is it going to be Penix? Is it going to be Bo Nix? Like, that was the conversation. That's why the quarterback number was set at 4.5, and under was That was the juice was on the over, right? Yeah, the heavy
yes,
juice was on
or
the
I
over.
Would have bet it. It
yeah,
was insanely juiced. Yeah,
we all thought it was going to be one of them, but we didn't think both, and both in the top 12. It was nuts. I kind of don't understand what the hell the Broncos are doing. If I'm sitting there at 12, yeah, they wanted a quarterback, but you got the last one. Is Bo Nix going to change your fortune in that division? You're chasing Herbert. You're chasing Mahomes. Like, just build everything else and get the quarterback later. I don't quite understand what Denver's doing. They're seeing something in Bo Nix. I am not.
Sean Payton, yeah, clearly he said that he really likes him. So I guess we'll see what he's able to do there. The Lions stuff. Everyone's saying they got a steal with Terrion Arnold, cornerback. I am curious your thoughts as one of the biggest Lions critics on the show.
Well, their secondary sucks. So, yeah, they had to upgrade their secondary, and they got one of the top corners in the draft because all the defensive players fell. And then once they started to go, everyone went edge. So they got a terrific cornerback. It was a good pick. Just hanging out there in the 20s, and they get a top corner. Maybe they'll actually hit on this one since they fail so much at that position. But, yeah, the Lions – I think the NFC North is fascinating, not just because I'm here and closer to the Bears organization. It's just, okay, the Lions had another strong draft, position of need, really good player. Are they going to be able to continue to improve? They decide to pay Amon-Ra St. Brown. We just mentioned the Viking stuff. They added two really good first-round picks. The Bears added two really good top 10 picks, I think. Rome Odunze falling to them. And Rome
amazing.
Doesn't have to step in and do anything, Aaron, yeah. this year. Like, he doesn't have that ultimate pressure because they traded for Keenan Allen, because they got DJ Moore a year ago. Like, he comes in as a third receiver. He doesn't have that pressure some of these other top receivers are going to have.
And has he already been working out with Caleb, I thought I heard? You got to love
yeah.
that if that's the case. I thought I heard that. Yeah.
They flew together, I think, like, and he was saying, come on, get me Rome. And they got him Rome. Like, Caleb, we're going to talk about offensive rookie of the year odds later on. Caleb Williams is in a great spot. I keep hearing people say that he is in the best position a number one draft pick has ever been on. I think there's a legitimate argument for that. Just because the talent around them, because typically the number one overall pick, when they're a quarterback, they are going to a team that had the number one overall pick because it's a trash organization or the cupboard is bare. That is not what's going on with the Bears.
Or a completely lopsided team. Like, I love what the Bears did defensively too. They fixed the defense. Now they're getting these young offensive players. They already have Amon-Ra. It's exciting. Like, this is not going to be one of those teams that if they're good, oh, they're frauds. Like, they've been slowly building towards this strategically.
Yeah. A year or so ago, the North was looked at as one of the worst divisions in football. If you believe in Jordan Love and the receivers, the young receivers that the Packers started to develop last year, like, everybody in this division should be able to compete. And in the division odds, the Vikings were the long shot. Well, they had a really good draft last night. I wonder how that kind of tightens up, because I think anybody has a decent shot.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I like the Lions too. I think they got better when certainly they drafted for need. So it's going to be a fun division. Can't pick on them anymore.
I know. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Because the Bears are going to be better now. The Bears are plus 370 for the division. I think that's pretty good value. At 8.5 wins,
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. They did so well last night. Paul's got a question for us. What's up, Paul?
Did we learn anything draft process-wise compared to years past? Obviously, the NFL has said they have kind of made it known in teams. They're really tightening up all the leaks. So, like, all the – you know, there's a lot of JJ smoke. That didn't really come through. Anything compared to years past or moving forward that we've learned or you think will be the case moving forward that we can take away from this year?
Just about every mock that we talked about yesterday and we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks had 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. I'd say most had 9-2 with Dunze. So it was pretty chalky. As long as they stood there at 5, everybody knew that the Chargers were going to take a tackle. It was a matter of which one. Because day of the draft or the last 24 hours, people came out and said, oh, maybe it's going to be Latham. It's going to be Latham. Ends up being Alt, the guy that was projected as the number one offensive lineman all along. And the Titans take the other dude that was projected all along. So as far as last night, I don't think there was this madness. It was just we had interesting storylines because so many quarterbacks, so many receivers, so many offensive players in general. I'd say it was pretty chalky, Aaron. I was expecting something to flip the draft, and I don't think that moment happened until 8.
I think the J.C. Latham thing and, you know, Daniel Jeremiah also having him in his mock draft, and he's a color commentator for the Chargers, so a lot of people are like, well, this guy must know. You know, that caused a lot of bets and people saying, you know, the closer we are to the draft, the latest mock drafts tend to be the most accurate, and that was the one that was totally wrong.
Yeah, people were really mad about that.
Yeah, the angle to take was that from that was J.C. Latham top 10, which I think, Joe, you gave out like earlier in the week. But it was like, because I tried to do first offensive lineman with him. I got burned on that. Like, obviously, draft position. I guess his under would have come through if you got it at the right time. But yeah, like you guys said, very, very chalky.
Yeah.
The next,
because even like the first 4 or 5 picks or whatever, if you did that parlay, it was like plus 750 just to show how chalky it was.
Well, cool. Lessons learned. And this is something that Benjamin Robinson talked about every time he appeared on this show, that if you were making bets, projecting trades, that's probably poor process. Because the majority of the time they end up, especially I'd say top 5, top 10. I know Minnesota moved in, but just to make sure that Vegas didn't jump up, I assume. But most of the time, they end up hanging on. Like, a lot of people were saying, Arizona's going to trade out. Chargers are going to trade out. Both of them sat there and took the best player at their given position.
Should have stuck to my guns on JJ. I let myself get convinced that he was going to. I chased a little steam, like top 5, under 5.5. And I mean, Chris and I both for weeks were just, no, we're not buying it. I mean, the kid looks like he's 12. Not that that really necessarily matters, but I just like, I'm sitting there looking at him in his living room. I'm like, this guy's an NFL franchise quarterback. There's no way. So I think that's the one thing I'm kicking myself about. Didn't take a huge bath on it, but stick to your guns.
A huge bath on it.
Yeah. I mean,
oh my gosh.
They made it known. They want this dude. And I thought somebody was going to step in and do something about it. The Raiders were interesting. So they didn't get their quarterback, but they hang out and they take Brock Bowers, the best tight end in the draft by a mile, a playmaker to pair with Devontae. So I
that was weird. And that guy looks like he's 40. By the way,
he's a man.
That hair's thinning a little bit. Yeah.
He looks like he spent a lot of time in Vegas already.
The screen grab Chris sent us of his dad looking like, or I think someone put it out there, like looking like a man who knows he's not allowed back in Vegas. And
then his sister with the leg tat, she was getting a lot of attention. Like her whole thigh is tatted up.
I feel like that's normal now. Like that's
it's hot.
It happens all the time. But yeah,
something
I mean,
something to think about.
Yeah. There's like one tackle that fell, but aside from a lot of this was
under 9.5 somehow got there.
Did it? How would it end up with 9?
Yeah. 9. And it was like 9 with 4 picks left. So
those numbers are so good. Defensive line edge was 6.5. It was 6. Wide receivers was 6.5. It was 7. Offensive line, 9.5. It was 9. Damn, are they good at that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Oh, real quick. Damn. What about the Bills? What are the Bills doing? We'll trade back. Oh, receiver? Nah, we'll trade back. Oh, another chance at the receiver?
Oh,
nah,
yeah.
We'll trade back again.
But I don't think they missed their opportunity. You know what I mean?
No, they're still. options. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, stacking some picks.
It was strange to see a trade with Casey. Like, that's the rival. Go ahead.
I had
help
that
you
same
out.
Thought.
I didn't understand that one.
Yeah.
Did we see any crazy CeeDee Lamb girlfriend moments? We'll get into that and off the board. This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. You're listening to the BetQL Network.